You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on ESL teaching and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, John.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, Sarah can't make it today. She emailed me and she said she had about 50 million things.
Well, there.
Yeah, to do. Busy. Yeah.
I guess life gets busy in Bundang.
Yeah. Have you noticed the Christmas decorations are up on many of the Korean department stores? Yeah.
Wow, I haven't noticed. Oh, my God.
Well, as I say, remember, I was a number of podcasts ago, I was talking about the Canadian model, where as soon as you're done with Halloween, then the Christmas decorations go up.
That's, as far as I recall, the American model, too.
Yeah. You've got American Thanksgiving coming up.
We do?
You do.
Well, you could do it if you wanted to.
Well, you know.
You're not automatically excluded. All you have to do is know Americans.
are you going to attempt to celebrate that in any fashion?
I doubt it.
Really? you've been away.
I've had plenty of Christmases and Thanksgivings without the loving bosom of my family.
Okay, yeah. You know what I kind of like about missing Christmas? For a lot of people, when they come to teach here, this is the first time in maybe their entire life they've been away for Christmas.
And that's a rough one. That's a rough one.
Well, I liked it because it's just there's such a lack of holiday stress because you don't have to buy presents. You don't have to, get your ticket back home all planned. And you're not always constantly worrying about, well, will the weather hold? Will my plane flight be canceled because of, Detroit's all snowed in? And, there's just none of that.
Nice.
It's a holiday here, but it's not a big holiday. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like, it's more of a day for boyfriend and girlfriend to kind of go out.
Well, I think the baby Jesus would approve of that.
I guess so, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I guess even in Japan, they're really pushing Christmas.
And Santa Claus. If I recall from at least 20 years ago or so, Santa Claus was a big thing over there. They loved him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, because the Japanese are such huge savers. They save like 20% of their salary.
Right.
That they're like, ooh, maybe this Christmas thing will kind of crowbar some money out of their wallets and sort of drive the service sector, the consumer sector of the economy. So, yeah, Christmas is kind of a... Many non-Christmas cultures have latched onto Christmas as a way to sort of spur consumer spending, especially
why not
these days. Yeah. Halloween's all wrapped up. How did Halloween turn out at your school?
Halloween was appropriately spooky and decorated and candy-filled. Had all of those things going for it.
Okay. Did you actually do anything on the Halloween, October 31st?
At the English Village, they had a big, huge weekend thing last weekend.
Okay, yes.
Official, everyone dressed up, haunted housey kind of stuff. So when the actual day rolled around, we had our regular students in a regular program, and I think probably we passed out candy, but nothing terribly special.
Yeah, my school, we did this thing where it was a bit lame. I wanted pumpkin carving, but they decided that would be kind of too messy.
Right.
And actually, in retrospect, because there were so many kids, I could sort of see it as being a bit of a nightmare. I didn't really appreciate that we had more students per day than... Because I only see some of them, I don't get to see the whole group of people in the English program. So it ended up being about 30 or 40 kids per session, and I can see pumpkin carving being a bit
messy. Could have gotten ugly.
Yeah, but they did enjoy my little ghost stories.
Good.
Well, they weren't so much ghost stories, just my horrifying urban legend stories, or And they're mostly about dogs too. The dog under the bed, right, which I talked about last
week. Which horrified me.
Yeah. And then there was there's the other urban legend about the choking Doberman, where the woman comes home and her dog is like choking. And so she takes her dog to the vet, and the vet opens up the dog's throat and finds, you know, four human fingers in his throat. But meanwhile, the woman has actually gone back home, and so turns out there's a killer hiding in the closet with four, where there were four fingers. Right. Yeah, it's all bloody, and the dog saved him, and yeah. And the vet, you know, calls, "Get out of the house! Get out of the house!" And, yeah, they like that one too. Right. So yeah. And then I kind of...
Does she live?
What's that?
Does the woman live?
In this case, the woman does live, yes. So, and then there, I kind of pumped up a story in Canada. In Vancouver, there was this kind of horrible murder. This guy named Robert Picton, a pig farmer. And he was kind of killing prostitutes. But I mean, I didn't tell the children they were prostitutes. Just all of these women went missing. You know? And then, you know, there was a pig farm. And there were no pigs on that pig farm, but they made sausages. I kind of combined the actual story with a plot of a 80s movie called Motel Hell, which was basically about a farmer who makes human sausages. But there was some fear that maybe the guy was actually grinding the prostitutes into the sausage.
Nice.
Yeah, but
all
that
new twist on Sweeney Todd.
Exactly. So I don't know, but I think that's still in trial. So the details won't actually come out until you know a guilty verdict has been rendered, or maybe he's
the
innocent.
Guilty verdict. Maybe he's innocent. Maybe it was.
He looks guilty.
Okay. Yeah, well, all right.
Yeah. And if he's not guilty of that, I'm sure he's guilty of something.
Something. Yeah. Right.
Remember I said that once to a defense lawyer friend of mine, and she was just like, she's like, "What are you saying?" I'm like, "No, I'm just joking." No, but people really believe that.
Well, I mean, we are all guilty of something.
But what did you... my thing was ended up being quite badly planned, my school's Halloween, because they kind of changed it at the last moment and sort of added an extra hour to the program.
Nice.
But didn't tell me till the last moment.
Nice.
You know, and they're all kind of looking at me like, "So what do we do?" And I'm like thinking, well...
Can you give me 30 seconds to think of something?
I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't the one planning this, and no one told me until just right now. So then I end up doing this thing where, like, I know what to do. So I did little mind reading magic.
Okay.
And they're kind of like looking at me like, where did these tricks come from? You know, like he just sits there, you know, and suddenly he can do this mind reading magic. And yeah, but
that the one with the cell phone?
Yeah, the cell phone. Yeah,
I tried that this week.
Oh, did you try that week? Okay, let me explain for the listeners. This is kind of cool. So what you do is you're in your classroom. And you tell your students, you know, "I have a psychic friend," all right? And then you draw on the blackboard. You draw like a triangle, a star, a square, and a circle. Four symbols. You could even do six symbols, all right? And then you get the children all to decide on one symbol. What is the symbol the class is going to pick? So they say they pick the star. And then you take out your cell phone, and you're like, "Okay, we're going to call my friend the wizard." And the wizard's going to tell you what the class picked. So then you give the cell phone to one of the students, and they dial and they go, "Hello, is the wizard there?" And the wizard says, "The class picked the star." And then the kid's like,
Yeah, it's quite stunning.
Yeah, so they're like, and if any child is skeptical, they can just pass on the cell phone,
right,
and the wizard will tell them, "You picked the star." But the way you actually do it is you get one of the Korean co-teachers and prepare your co-teacher that, "Okay, I'm going to call you at this time during this period." And then you give the teacher sort of like a coded list of like star, circle, etc. And then next to each shape, you have the name you're going to call the teacher. So if the class picks star, you tell the kid, "Ask for the wizard." And if the class picks circle, you know, "Ask for Mr. Magic." And if the class picks square, you know, "Ask for the psychic." Things like that.
Right.
Yeah, the witch. Things like that. So as long as your co-teacher has the coded list in front of him or her, then whatever name the student asks for, boom, you can give it.
So, one caveat.
Oh, yeah?
Make sure that the child asking for the magician or the witch or the... Make sure their pronunciation is good enough for the teacher to be able to understand.
All right.
I did it twice in the same class. The first time it worked great. The second time, because of that, it didn't quite
work. Right. Yeah. Well, you could teacher answers, you can go, ask for the wizard, and then hand it over. He or she kind of hear. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. And there's also one called the little envelope mind reading trick. The student writes a noun on a slip of paper, puts it in an envelope, and then gives you the envelopes. And then you pick each envelope out, hold it to your head, and then you're able to psychically read what is in the envelope.
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah, I won't tell you how it's done, but in the mentalist business, it's called the one-ahead trick. So you can Google on that, and you will find instructions on how to do the one-ahead trick. Yeah, so I survived the Halloween.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. All right. You know, I'm suffering from another cold. This one's kind of low grade. It's just sort of not the worst.
I successfully fought off a throat thing this week.
Yeah?
I started getting that scratchy, just mildly sore. A lot of vitamin C and a lot of fluids, and it's gone. So, yeah.
Have you enjoyed any colds besides your throat thing?
I never enjoy colds. I don't think I've been, aside from a laryngitis thing very early on, I haven't really had anything.
Really? Were you able to speak?
There was about 2 days when I could speak for about the first hour, and then I literally had to whisper for the rest of the day.
All right.
But that mostly fell on a weekend, so it worked out.
Have you ever noticed when you, like, tell your Korean coworkers you're sick, they begin to haul out the most bizarre remedies?
I haven't, but I can't wait.
It's like, hang a frog around your neck. And it's like,
a dead one or a live one?
Well, live, of course. Who would hang a dead frog around their neck to cure a cold?
Right. But, no, silly me. Yeah.
Well, that's if you're lucky. They will have these bizarre remedies. If you're unlucky, they will try to sort of bundle you off to the hospital for a common cold.
Right.
You know, and it's like...
It's a cold.
I know, it's like, look, you know, under the best possible medical care, a cold lasts a week. With no medical care whatsoever, a cold lasts a week.
Right.
It's just...
Unless Korea has come up with a cure and hasn't told the world, not much point.
Absolutely. All right. So our snack of the week... Our snack of the week, we actually got two chocolate bars. The local chocolate. There is a chocolate bar called Ghana, as in like country.
Right.
And then a chocolate bar called Crunky.
Crunky.
Yeah, not to be confused with the Crunchy chocolate bar, which I think is a North American chocolate bar.
Right.
But this one's called Crunky. Crunky. Crunk.
Okay. Well, I'm about to break off a piece of the Ghana bar.
You're going to have the Ghana bar. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. So it is a chocolate bar, a Ghana chocolate bar.
It is a chocolate bar. It's chocolate. Like, if somebody gave me a piece of this and a piece of a Hershey bar and a blind taste test, I would not be able to tell the difference.
Oh, really? Okay.
Except by shape.
Okay. So no sort of overweening North American sense of chocolate superiority?
I don't know.
No, okay.
No.
All right.
Of course, it would be hard to posit North American chocolate superiority.
All right. Okay. Let's try the crunky bar.
All right.
I can't get the crunky bar open. John,
you're
more capable of these things.
I took a class in this once.
Yeah. I'll enjoy the crunchy bar. So it's kind of like just your standard chocolate and peanut.
It looks very much like a Nestle's Crunch.
Yeah. Remember, I'm sorry, not peanut. Like kind of a crispy rice thingy.
And again, in a blind taste test, I probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Hmm. It's not bad. Just a bizarre name, the Crunky Bar.
Crunky.
But thoroughly acceptable, I think, mm-hmm. for a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Ghana Bar...
very smooth, milk chocolate.
Yeah. But so named because of the African country called Ghana.
Which is... Chocolate didn't come from Ghana, did it?
No,
it came from the New World, right?
No, that's where about 80% of our chocolate comes from. I mean, maybe chocolate did originate in South America or Central America, but the current supplier of most of the world's chocolate beans, cocoa beans, has Ghana.
Get out. Okay.
Yeah, hence the name.
All right, that makes sense then.
Remember when Korea played Ghana in the World Cup?
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to take that opportunity to sort of teach the kids about these countries, you know, Ghana and France and these kind of things, and Switzerland, and, you know, compare them in terms of population and, you know, what they import, what they export, stuff
right.
like that. And so the kids, I'm like, okay, Ghana kids, Ghana. You've all heard of Ghana? Yeah. You know, and I have a little picture of the Ghana chocolate bar, too, in their handout.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you think is Ghana's major export?
Mm.
MP3 players? No, that's Korea.
Right.
Televisions? No, that's Korea. Think Ghana. Where do you know the word Ghana from? Chocolate bars? Okay, so what do you think Ghana exports? Tinfoil? You know, it's just...
Right.
Oh,
wrappers?
Man.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but you tried.
I tried.
You gave it the old college try.
To really sort of lead them to it.
Right. I'm surprised they were even able to... Didn't Ghana win that game?
No, that's the game Korea won.
Oh, okay.
You know, they lost their coach or something like that.
Then they lost to Switzerland.
Yeah, they tried France and then lost to Switzerland.
Yeah.
It was all rather disappointing. It was a dark day.
It seems to be, yeah. It reverberated.
All right.
I have had, speaking of Korean chocolate, I have had some of their darker chocolates, and they're very good. Which this is the crunch.
Ghana-me.
Ghana-me. Oop. And their darker chocolates, they hold up. They're really good.
You find a lot of, like, Japanese chocolate here, too. Meiji or something like that. Meiji. Mm. Yeah. It's chocolate.
It's acceptable.
All right. Our main topic. We actually got to kind of switch our main topic. Anticipating Sarah being here, I kind of wanted to do a little bit of a thing. Well, what did we do before we came to Korea to teach? And John, you were in the military for like 20, 25
long time.
Years? Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah, very long time. And then I think I maybe talked a bit about my, bemoaned about my .com experience. But I think Sarah has the most interesting past. She worked at Disney World. So that would be quite interesting. So we'll leave that topic till next week. And the other sort of main topic is just, what do you eat every day? Breakfast, lunch, supper?
Right.
What do you eat every day, John?
I don't generally eat breakfast.
Okay.
It comes down to, do I want to sleep for another 15 minutes, or do I want to take that carve out that 15 minutes to make breakfast? And sleep always wins.
Wow. Yeah.
So there's that. And then I either eat at the... Well, I take a sweep through the cafeteria to see if I can stand whatever it is they happen to be serving.
Do you get free food at your school?
We get meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Free or subsidized?
Free.
Oh, jeez.
But
that is my dream.
But
it's
school cafeteria Korean food.
I don't care. It's free and it comes in little trays with their own little, you know, apple pie in one little
lots
section.
Lots of rice. And okay, yeah.
Oh. I don't care how bad it is. As long as it comes in a little tray with that little individual sections and...
Well, I think we could find you a job at the English Village.
Oh, man. That is my dream. Yeah. I remember when the only time I was ever in the hospital had a lung biopsy, which is it's a lot more fun than it sounds. But,
yeah. And it doesn't sound really very fun, so...
No, it's loads of fun. But, you know, but then you get the hospital food, and it comes in the little trays, and I'm just like the nurse. I'm just telling her, "Oh, this is so good. This is so good." And she's like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah." nobody ever says the hospital food is good. But I'm like, I didn't have to make it myself.
Right, there's that. There's that.
Yeah. So she brought me seconds, which may have been like a first in all of, you know, medical history.
Right.
Yeah.
Quite possibly.
You know, I had my camera, and I asked the nurse, can you take a picture of me in my hospital bed? And she's like, well, I can, but not many patients want to remember their hospital stay.
Well, you're special.
Yeah, I'm a little cracked. Well, this was an American hospital, though, like, okay, in a nice suburban Seattle neighborhood, and so it was quite, you know, it was nice.
Okay.
All right. But, yeah, so John, sorry. So,
that's all right. So I swing through, see if I can, if there's anything that they're offering that I can stand to eat, and if I do.
So what is a typical kind of Korean
camp? Of course, there's always a big blob of rice.
Sure, yeah. Kimchi.
There's always some kimchi.
Right.
Whether it's the regular kimchi or the...
radish?
The radish kimchi.
Okay.
There's as often as not some recognizable vegetable, either by itself or medley.
Okay.
Then there's the unrecognizable vegetable medley stuff that can happen.
Okay.
Various and different. Wow. Noodle concoctions with little pieces of meat. Things.
Pork or chicken, probably.
Sometimes they have they make a stab at a sort of quasi-Western meatloafy kind of beef steaky kind of breaded pork kind of thing.
Okay,
and that's fine. So I eat whatever they're offering there doesn't fill me up, then I'll go home and scramble an egg or two, or have a sandwich. I've eaten much more tuna here than I have.
I
like tuna, but I don't generally have it two or three times a week. But now I do.
Yeah, big can for about 98 cents.
Right.
Yeah.
I also like the various ways they have of serving tuna. I mean, selling tuna.
Okay.
The pepper tuna, the hot pepper sauce tuna, and a couple other ones.
Pretty good. Well, I found living here, I go through more soy sauce in 1 year than like I've ever gone through in my entire life. You know,
funny.
Yeah, in North America, I'll buy, you know, a small bottle of like Kikkoman's soy sauce, and that will last me
years,
decades even. We can measure it in decades, and because it's just, you know, a couple of dashes for a marinade or something. Boom. But here, it's like, yeah, I buy I'm talking a big bottle. You know,
half a liter,
yeah, right. Man, that's every couple of months I'm buying a new one.
Wow.
So I know, it's weird. So
Do you refrigerate your soy sauce?
I refrigerate my soy sauce. I don't know if you have to.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's got so much salt and crap in it.
Right.
I can't see anything living in that.
Right, I mean, I think they turned up some soy sauce in the Terracotta City that was still good.
Oh yeah, really? Okay, yeah.
Just kidding.
It's like mustard. Do you have to refrigerate mustard?
I think it depends on how they prepare the mustard. I don't know.
That's one of those signs you're getting old, is when you really begin to wonder about, is my mustard past its expiry date? You know, like, ooh, I don't know.
Right.
Not the concerns of an 18-year-old. You know? It's depressing. Yeah. But the calf food, acceptable or not?
What?
Your cafeteria food?
It's like bad versions of good Korean food.
Oh, okay.
It's directly comparable to, you know, the school lunches that you get in America are bad versions of real food.
I find that, you know, I mean, if you learn to cook Korean, it's definitely your food budget is quite inexpensive. But if you try to stick to a Western diet, then that can be very pricey.
Right.
You know, like cheese and bacon, you know, that sort of stuff.
Right.
Hamburger. I besides soy sauce, I use ground pork a lot more than I've ever before, because just pork is much, much cheaper than ground beef. Because I like to make chili. But instead of using the ground beef, I just substituted it with the ground pork.
Good. I bought a few months ago, what I assumed to be a huge rasher of bacon. But that's when I found out that I guess it's not bacon until after they cure it. Before that, it's just fatty pork.
Really?
I found that out when I was cooking it up.
I don't know. Or is it like they
cook it up? It still tastes good, but it's not bacon.
No way. Because remember one time one of my Korean friends lured me to this Korean barbecue, and I'm like, well, what do they serve? And she says, oh, it's samgyeopsal. And I'm like, well, what is that? And she's like, well, it is Korean bacon. And I'm like, hey, I'm there. Because, you know.
Right,
you
bacon.
Know, yeah, exactly. Besides, you know, I love you. You know, I've got bacon is...
Those three magic words,
yeah,
right?
I've got... Yeah, those are three. Well, conjunction. But, yeah. So, I'm there. But it wasn't really bacony. Like, we would understand bacon.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess maybe that was... I didn't think about that, but that's sort of the... Do you drink milk?
I'd love milk.
Yeah. Well, how do you find the milk here?
I find it passable.
Passable?
Tastes like milk. I wish I could find more low-fat milk, but...
Okay. You can find the low-fat milk.
You can, just not as easily as I would like.
Because most people find the milk here really, really sweet. Do you find the milk sweet? Because I find the milk sweet.
I suppose so.
Delicious.
I suppose so.
Yeah, it's more expensive. It's like
it is more expensive.
Yeah, it's about twice the price we might pay.
Almost $2 for what I would call a quart, a liter.
Right, yeah, okay.
And that's high.
Wow. Another thing I like to eat is... they're sort of frozen bulgogi. These little frozen bulgogi thingies. And then I just sort of toss it into my toaster oven with some sort of onions and olives and mushrooms. And then just sort of bake it. And then take some bread and then, you know, slap it on the bread. And put this thing called doenjang, which is kind of a sort of a fermented soy paste. Which maybe doesn't sound all that tasty until you've actually... try the doenjang. It's really good. Or even maybe some mustard or something like that.
I will also occasionally it's a thing here that I recognize from Japan. I guess here they call them, I don't know, dumplings or something. They're
mandu, right. Yeah,
yeah, and they're inside it's a type of pork and vegetable mix.
Yeah.
You can cook them any of several ways. I guess you can boil them or bake them. In Japan we used to fry them up. So I get some of those and fry them up in some olive oil. And those are very yummy.
You know what's good is you actually go to the little sort of restaurants where they have their dumplings, the dumpling restaurants, and they have something called king dumplings, or wang being the Korean word for king and mandu being the Korean word for dumpling. So wang mandu. And it's just this big dumpling. And you get like six of them for about $3. And, I mean, depending who you are, two or three makes a meal. So it can last you about two or three meals. Wang mandu is really good. There was a few years ago, there was this huge scandal, the garbage mandu scandal. You used to be able to buy the wang mandus, the big mandus in the grocery store. But you can't find them now. Because all the companies that made them, I don't know, a lot of them were using these, like, rotten pickles.
Ooh.
Yeah, and so there's this huge scandal, and they all disappeared from the grocery
rotten
store.
Rotten pickles.
Rotten pickles, yeah. The garbage mandu scandal. So you don't find them in the grocery stores anymore. But you can still find them, you know, for sale in restaurants. And
where presumably they don't use rotten pickles.
No.
Good.
But... remember, that was one of the first things I really started to eat here, and there was a guy in my apartment building who sold them, and so I would go there a lot and buy them, and his English was pretty good, so I could always sort of ask for the, you know, those big things, you know, those big meat things.
Right.
So one day he told me what they were in Korean, so I went back and I tried to order them in Korean, and when I tried to order them in Korean, he sort of like looked at me. And he just gave me this really sort of derisive kind of laugh. Like, you know, and like...
Move it along.
And I was a bit like, well, geez, I'm trying to order in Korean. I'm trying to be polite. And why is he kind of laughing at me in a derisive manner? But later on, I figured out why. Because I wasn't calling him Wang Mandu. When he told me the name, I thought he said Keigogi Mandu. Keigogi Mandu. That's for some reason I heard Keigogi Mandu.
Okay.
So it ends up K is the Korean word for dog. Gogi, meat.
Oh.
Mandu. So I was trying to order dog meat mandus.
Oh.
I don't know how I got Keigogi out of Wang, but so that's why he sort of laughed at me derisively.
Right, right.
Yeah. You know, one thing I do is rice. A lot of Koreans have rice cookers.
Right.
But I'm always thinking, well, why buy a rice cooker, you know, and then leave Korea? Because I'm not going to take a rice cooker all the way home. So I figured out you can make rice in the microwave.
Oh.
Yeah, it's quite easy, actually. You take one cup of rice, you know, put it in like a bowl or Tupperware thing, two cups of water, and then on high for 20 minutes, and then on medium for 15 minutes, and you've got quite acceptable rice.
Is it sticky?
Well, you're using the short grain rice, so it's going to be normal and sticky, yeah. So, I mean, you know, there's somebody who's sort of been, you know, born in a rice culture.
It's probably not going to pass.
They're not 100% impressed by your microwave rice. But, you know, to stupid people like us, you know, it's like, ugh, it's good enough.
White rice for whitey.
Yeah. But not Uncle Ben's.
No.
That's something maybe I'll try to bring back when I go to Canada for vacation.
Just to stun people, yeah.
I could do Uncle Ben's, and this is the rice we eat in North America, and then just, oh. Because after my whole, like, you know, people getting murdered in North America stories, most of the kids are quite convinced, you know, that North America is not the place they want to be.
And after you bring them Uncle Ben's rice, they'll be sure.
They'll just lock that
right
in, yeah.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. And this is actually kind of a problem too, I think, in teaching. It's just the kids not using verbs when they speak.
Right.
And it's it holds true for advertising. Like there's a lot of let's Bravo, you know, let's KT, Korea Telecom, let's KT.
Right.
Yeah, and so, you know, let us...
Making things that, instead of let us buy KT,
so they
really want to make KT the verb of that.
Yeah, so they don't sort of use, they drop the verb. I think in Korean there is kind of a, making nouns into verbs I think is much more common than in North America. I kind of, you take the noun and just slap hada.
No, Korean. I know there are several languages in which the verb to be is dropped. I mean, it's just an understood part of the grammar. Is Korean that way?
Could be. I don't know.
Which would also strengthen the...
Okay. That might be why my kids just, you know, I computer game. What did you do yesterday? I computer game. I killed a computer game, I kissed a computer game, I ate a computer game.
Right.
Yeah. I sort of prompt them at some crazy verbs so they kind of get the idea. But the one that really, really made me want to go postal is that they should have maybe a go hagwon. That would be kind
of cool. Hagwon.
Yeah. Right. Just made me want to go hagwon. Actually, go postal was, I'm walking by a one of the bigger Korean English chains, and they had a big, huge slogan saying, let's speaking. So, you know, adding the ing, you're kind of taking the verb and turning it into a noun.
Or you're... Yeah, oh, it's just awful.
Yeah. So, let's speaking. So, you still need a little verb in there, you know. Let's try speaking, let's learn speaking,
let's be speaking would even be marginally acceptable, but...
Yeah, I don't know. So that kind of freaked me out. Yeah. The other thing, too, is sort of the Korean clothing chains. A few weeks ago, we talked about... Who are you? Who are you? And have you seen any other strange Korean...
I haven't, really. But I'm going to be shopping for some running clothes here soon, so I might.
Okay. All right. Well, the one that sort of freaks me out, there was a company called Egan Post.
Egan.
Yeah. E-I-G-E-N Post. Okay. Egan Post. And it kind of freaks me out because that's where I actually buy most of my clothing. That's kind of the, I don't know, the styles and the price and the sizes all kind of fit me. And then I'm just like, Egan Post. What the hell is Egan? I have no idea where they got the name from. And then they changed it to Conus.
Which is odd.
Yeah, Conus.
And what catches my eye about that is that in the military, and maybe in other places, but in military, CONUS stands for Continental United States.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. When I see CONUS, the sci-fi geek in me just sort of goes, that was a villain from Space 1999 or something, you know, like...
Right.
No, CONUS, do not destroy us, CONUS, have mercy on
right.
us. I don't know, some shape-shifting, energy-creating space alien. I don't know, CONUS. But they got pretty nice clothes, CONUS. I actually like them in terms of their clothing.
In Korean news.
All right, there was this really strange news article sort of popped up. English teachers in schools nationwide will have to conduct English classes without the help of native English-speaking teachers by 2015.
Presumably they're talking in the public school system.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the public school system. Now, there's apparently, according to a news article, somehow the intent of the law is... plan to redesign English education in such a way as to reduce people's private spending on the subject. Okay. Now, one of the big complaints of parents is that they're spending huge amounts of money on hogwads.
Right.
English education.
Right. When, in theory, public school systems could do some of that, in theory.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm thinking, but I can't quite figure out how this... is going to help alleviate that situation.
Well, I guess it looks like by whatever date, such and such a date, by 2015, English teachers will receive intensive English courses so that every English teacher will be able to carry out classes in English.
Yeah.
That seems important.
Yeah.
That does seem important.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
But a couple years ago, the government's always responding to the parents' complaint about the high price of Hagwon education. And a couple of years ago, they had this master plan. You know, the EBS, the Educational Broadcasting System, EBS and the Internet, they're going to have all these English courses. And then parents would no longer have to send their kids to Hagwon. They could just keep them at home or keep them at school, and they would be able to learn their English that way.
Right.
And I remember the Hagwons were quite, oh, my God, what's going to happen to us? And then... nothing ever came of it. Like it was just so awful what they were offering. You know, the parents just sort of took a look at it and were like, ugh. Mm. And then kept sending their kids. Yeah.
Right.
But you know what they're doing is, and this is strange. Okay, so they're hiring like thousands of native speakers.
Right.
Okay. And then a few years later, they're just going to kick them all out, and then replace them by these Korean teachers, who I guess also have perfect English pronunciation.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So they're somehow going to have this perfect English pronunciation. And this is the strange thing. The government will actively seek to employ Korean residents. Okay. And Korean adoptees from English-speaking countries. Now,
that is an odd...
that's an odd part of the plan, because I don't know too many Korean adoptees that are actually fluent in Korea.
Right.
Okay. So they are as capable of Korean probably as you or I are capable of Korean.
But they would look the part.
Yeah. So they are going to be allowed to be in the public schools because they are Korean. I don't know. It just strikes me as kind of this kick the whitey out of the public school system.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really make, you know, the intent and then suddenly this exception for Korean adoptees, it just doesn't really, you know, how is this just going to...
it doesn't make
gonna,
much sense.
You know, convince parents to not send their kids to Hagwon, you know, lower that cost. Unless, because Hagwons used to be illegal.
Really?
Yeah, it was only a fairly recent development that the Hagwons were actually made illegal. Because a lot of parents were just sending their kids to illegal private tutors anyways. And so the government eventually figured out this law is unenforceable.
Right. Can't make them join them, right?
Yeah.
But, and make some tax revenue off of it.
Yeah. But, you know, but I just think that what it's not about making Hagwons illegal again or improving the English education and the public school system, you know, by sort of like kicking all the whiteys out and somehow miraculously in you know, over the next 7 years making every Korean teacher fluent is just convince parents that, you know, stop sending your kid every waking hour to a Hagwon, you know, because it's like, if they're in Hagwon every single night, A, it's costing you a lot of money, and B, you know, please, parents, come spend 10 minutes in my class, you know. Like, but if you could just wear a cloak of invisibility and literally watch your child for 10 minutes and tell me if you think,
By
Friday night, that kid is, you know, the little learning sponge you think he is.
Because it's not a completely difficult or complex idea that, you know, in order to learn and absorb